Imagine yourself praying, being in a time of praying for God's blessing, God's protection, God's healing, praying for people you know and love who need healing, people in distress or confusion or depression. Imagine praying, and then you find yourself simply praying for peace, for the peace of Christ. For the peace of Christ to rule in your heart. Praying along the lines of what Jesus promised. Peace I leave with you, he said. My peace I give to you. Don't let your hearts be troubled and don't be afraid. Peace. My peace. And along with this, there's what Paul wrote to the Colossian church. Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, since you were called to peace. So imagine you're there in prayer, and you've prayed about people and about issues, about worries, things inside and out, and now you're simply praying for peace, for his peace. And then imagine Jesus speaking up and saying your name. Mark. Morgan, Nathan, Jim. Naming your name, and he says, tell me what you mean by praying for peace. What do you mean? What would it look like for my peace to rule in your heart and elsewhere? Where do you see that my peace is most needed? What would you say in response? Imagine this as an audible conversation. Would you ask for his peace to blanket over something gnawing in your guts? Something that's just pounding with worry and anxiety? Would you say something like, Lord, I don't even know what I mean, but I know I don't have peace. Would you maybe mention your family? Your marriage, you and your spouse, or you and a parent, or you and a child, or siblings who are bitterly divided over something, what would you say to Jesus? Would you go global, asking for him to bring his peace to the people who are part of ISIS, replacing their vicious, violent hatred with a Christ-flooded peace? Would you pray for the people of Israel and Palestine, or Somalia, or Ukraine? If Jesus literally spoke up into your ears and asked you what you mean by praying for peace and what most needs peace, what would you tell him? Where would you go with this? To turn the question just a bit, considering that this collection of prayers we have in the Bible called the Psalms, the living Word of God prayers here in Scripture, and that these are prayers that Jesus grew up with, that he knew so well. What if he simply quoted to you from Psalm 34, what we heard earlier, saying something like this, if you want peace, live with this. Come, my children, listen to me. Whoever of you loves life and desires to see many good days, which we could understand as peace, keep your tongues from evil and your lips from telling lies. Turn from evil and do good. Seek peace and pursue it. If that was your literal, audible interaction with Jesus in prayer, the Prince of Peace, the one who, as the Apostle Paul put it, the one who is our peace, where would you go with that? Seek peace and pursue it. Would you live differently? Would you react differently? Would this change your posture toward people around you, especially the people who challenge your peace? My basic question in all of this is, how do you understand this kind of peace? peace as it's used in the Bible. And how are you, how are we together living into this? So listen to the text. We already heard it sung from Matthew 5. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they will be shown mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. Blessed are the peacemakers. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called children of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted because of righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when people insult you, persecute you, and falsely say all kinds of evil against you because of me. Rejoice and be glad, because great is your reward in heaven, for in the same way they persecuted the prophets who were before you. This is the Lord's word to us today. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they'll be called the children of God. Or as it's rephrased in the message, you're blessed when you can show people how to cooperate instead of compete or fight. That's when you discover who you really are and your place in God's family. What a great way to be blessed and to be a blessing. To be people like those described in Psalm 34, who turn from evil and do good, who seek peace and pursue it. Who seek peace and pursue it. In a world that is running headlong in the other direction, where peacefulness is routinely broken by harshness and division, by grudge-keeping, by revenge, by hate. Of course, all we need to do is glance around us to be reminded that locally, nationally, globally, or on a more personal level, in our hearts and homes, in marriages, in families, and with neighbors, there are so many, many areas where there are huge gaps of no peace at all. Or where any sort of peace is as fragile as a pane of glass and one strong blow shatters and it turns into shards ready to cut. I can't help but think of what Jesus said, looking down at Jerusalem on what we know as the Palm Sunday entrance, when he was up on the Mount of Olives, about to descend to the Kidron Valley and up into Jerusalem, looking out over the city, filled with people he had come to save out of love, knowing that they were going to arrest him, charge him with blasphemy, torture him, and execute him. And he said, "Oh, Jerusalem, oh, people, if only you had known what would bring you peace. But now it's hidden from your eyes because you didn't recognize the time of God's coming to you. Now it's hidden. Peace." Man, we need this, don't we? This peace of Christ. The peace of Christ that surpasses all understanding. We need the peace of Christ to rule in our hearts. You need it. I need it. This world needs it so badly. This world that is so divided, so quick to get angry, so quick to exploit, terrorist-threatened, money-driven, self-focused. This world that God so loves that He sent His one and only Son to save the world, all out of love. This world needs His peace. Amen? But it raises a question. Well, what is that peace? What does it look like? What does it feel like? How would it be for each of us, all of us together, to be the actual embodiment of His peace? Peace. Peace is often defined or described as a lack of war or lack of conflict, and that's an accurate definition. But it's not deep enough. Because all those things that are involved with conflict, with war, those are more like the symptoms of a disease rather than the disease. Sin is the disease. Sin and all the shapes it takes, from the global level to our neighborhoods, to our families, to the very things going on in our hearts and minds right now. Peace, the peace of Christ. Peace that comes as a fruit of the Holy Spirit, it runs much deeper than just addressing the symptoms. As much as we need to be part of that. Peace, the peace of Psalm 34, seek peace and pursue it. The peace of Matthew 5, blessed are the peacemakers. This kind of peace moves deep within the core of life. Deep into the core of our hearts and of our minds. And then it moves outwardly from there. The primary biblical word for peace in Hebrew is shalom. A lot of us know that. Shalom. I put at the top of the prayer notes today a quotation by Cornelius Plantinga, Jr. about shalom. We call shalom peace, he writes, but it means far more than peace of mind or a ceasefire between enemies. In the Bible, shalom means universal flourishing, wholeness, and delight. A good friend of mine, Jim Bruckner, who teaches Old Testament at our denomination seminary in Chicago, he's written a really remarkable book called Healthy Human Life. It's one of the best books I've read. Among many other things, he writes about shalom and how broadly it is used in the Bible. Shalom can be about material well-being, not lacking things. It can mean physical and mental health, being whole physically and mentally. That's shalom. But shalom also has a distinct outward thrust, having to do with our relationships, both the close ones and the distant ones, with family and our best friends, but also with total strangers and even enemies. Shalom is involved with this. It has to do with compassion, with mercy, and with justice, with having our eyes trained to see and our hearts ready to absorb the hurts and the cries, the heartaches and the wounds, the injustices that other people carry. And then to walk alongside of them willingly, lovingly, with the peace of Christ, even if we can't figure out how to solve this. This is shalom. Shalom, peace, is really about the big picture, the whole picture, the broad story of life that we are part of, and the way that God works in and among all the breaches and complexities and wounds and joys, and like fitting together a jigsaw puzzle of different shaped pieces. He brings things into harmony. That's shalom. That's peace. And it begins here. It begins in us. It begins in our hearts and our thoughts. The fruit of peace begins by willingly, repeatedly, continually receiving. By continually inviting God, God the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, to do in us what we have zero ability to do. To grant us peace by first dealing with our sins. Untangling us from sin that wraps around us like fishing line that gets tighter with every move. As we teach our confirmation class year after year after year, the basic definition of sin is this. It is everything in thought, word, and deed that is contrary to the will of God. Everything in thought, word, and deed that is contrary to the will of God. All of which runs contrary to His shalom. And we're all included in this. Every single one of us, all the time. And therefore, there's that daily, continual need of His forgiveness preceding His peace. I love the Greek word for forgiveness. Aphiemi. Aphiemi. It means to release, to set free. Using that image of being wrapped up in tangled fish line, it's like a knife cutting through it. Where otherwise we would be trying to figure out how to untie this and how to untangle that, he cuts right through it. Says, you're free. You are released from all that. Aphiemi. I love that word. Forgiveness. A humble, honest transparency before God who forgives, releases us, and then sets us free into this gift he gives by way of his Holy Spirit. Shalom. Peace. Now live it. Share it. Spread it around. Peace takes root. God's shalom grows in us when we release it all over to him. Going back to that image of praying for peace. Praying for peace, and then Jesus speaks up, says our name. What areas of life would you name? If he asked you, what are those areas in your life where truthfully you don't have much peace? Where there's little, if any, sense of all's well, shalom. What would you say? All kinds of things can invade the fragile peace we often hold on to. Maybe it's some other person who intentionally or not, they hit every button we have. And there's no peace in reference to them. It could be a parent, or it could be your child, or it could be a spouse, or it could be a former friend, or it could be some neighbor that drives you crazy. And it's really hard to love this person. You know you should, but it's all uphill, and peace is invaded. Or there might be some issue globally or personally that fuels fear or anger or prejudice in you, and you can find yourself repeatedly anxious or bitter or ready to burst about whatever this is, and that peace gets invaded. Or maybe it's something deep inside of you, something hidden, something unconfessed. Maybe a deep dwelling anxiety, or maybe an unhealthy desire or compulsion. And even though you know it's not good, it's really hard to rein this thing in, to keep from acting on it. And peace is invaded. Only you and God know what invades and replaces peace in your life. And how this has maybe hobbled you from being a peacemaker. Or from seeking peace and pursuing it and living in shalom that he grows and gives. Only you and God know what invades, and only you and God know how you might be evading him. And therefore evading his peace, his shalom, which comes as a pure gift to lives thrown open to him. So I want to invite you in the sacred safety of this place, in this sanctuary, this place of prayer, is simply to do whatever business you need to do with Jesus today. To confess sin, to lay something down, to ask for him to move in a powerful way that you haven't experienced before, maybe to bring to mind a face, a name, a worry, a fear, a compulsion, a resentment, a grudge, whatever it is that he is stirring up in you, these things that can invade, or the ways that you have maybe unintentionally evaded him. And because of that, his peace has evaded you. I want to invite you simply to pray silently. To pray something along these lines. Peace. Jesus, your peace. Make your peace to rule over this and over that and over me. In my heart, release those things that block your peace that I let to stand in the way. Release me into your peace, your shalom. Let's take one full minute just in silent prayer, and then I will pray. I have brought to many of our minds faces, names, voices we hear. Voices of people who have been a challenge to us, whether living or now gone. Or issues we carry, things we worry about that we just can't shake. Fears we have, dreads that we carry, anxieties that dog us. Sins we've kept hidden and haven't even wanted to name before you. Would you, by your amazing, wonderful washing grace, take these. We release them over to you, praying that you would release us from them, afiemi, like cutting through tight fish line, and grow in us this fruit of the Holy Spirit called peace. We commit all this, and the people on our left and our right, in front of us, before and behind us, into your hands. Amen.